Okay, tell me if this is not a cool job. After traveling across three continents to stalk the modern story of butter. No, seriously, how cool is that? Award-winning food writer and former pastry chef Elaine Kusrova tells a story as rich, textured, and culturally relevant as butter itself. Her new book is Butter, A Rich History. From its humble agrarian origins to its present-day artisanal glory, butter has a fascinating story to tell, with tales about the ancient butter bogs of Ireland, the pleasure dairies of France, and the sacred butter sculptures of Tibet. Elaine Kusrova details butter's role in history, politics, economics, nutrition, even spirituality and art. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Elaine Kusrova to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for your interest.
Well, it's a delight. Who's not interested in butter?
Yes.
This is fascinating stuff. So at what point do you decide to dedicate a portion of your life to this thing that we smear on toast?
Yeah, it's a good question, because actually for most of my life and my career, I've been a food writer for almost 30 years. And I pretty much took butter for granted for most of that time. And then I was hired to be the editor of a magazine all about cheese. That was about 5 years ago. Yeah, that was another lucky good job.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. And through that experience, I was behind the scenes in the dairy world for, again, almost 5 years. And I began to understand, first of all, that there are many different kinds of butters. There's not just cow butter. There's goat butters and sheep butters. There's camel butter. All kinds of butters. And, you know, that was, I first became fascinated with the science and craft of it and how they could be so different from each other. And then that led me into the history. At that point, I knew, wow, there's really a book here, and I can't believe no one has written it. And so that kind of launched me.
What is it that most of us, and I certainly understand that there are those who don't share the love with butter, but for those of us who do, and for those of us who partake, what is it about the substance? What is it about butter that makes things so good? That its inclusion in anything, really, but its inclusion in a dish, if you are making if you are sautéing something, to if you are baking something, and maybe I should say that we so much notice its exclusion if it's not a part of the equation.
Absolutely, yes. Well, butter is actually quite complex. It appears to be very simple, but it has a lot of different kinds of fats, which are delicious.
Yeah.
But it also has about 120 different flavor compounds. Some of them are not detectable until butter's heated, which is one reason why, like, if you put cold butter on cold toast, it's just not nearly as good as if it's hot butter, you know, warm, hot toast, warm butter. So, you know, it's actually got a lot going on, and it's not just the fat. That has a lot to do with it, but there's a little portion of solids in butter that's actually very important. There's a lot of cool compounds in there that makes it so rich and so delicious, so satisfying. We're just wired to really love whatever butter is, I think.
And you say simple, so the production of butter for most dairies is a pretty simple one. Mm-hmm. Although some of the practices that you go into the book of how you milk the cow and how you get the butter is really certainly has a very complex history.
Oh, yes. A very long history. I mean, we're going back maybe 9,000 years. I mean, the earliest documentation is the Sumerians, 2500 BC. They were churning butter and carving pictures of churning butter into their temples. But you know, the churning itself, agitating cream essentially makes butter. And there's so many different ways that you can do that.
Right.
But when the industrialists started to, you know, when butter started to become more an industrial product, they really teased apart the science so that now they do things like a fine calibration of the temperature of the cream before it actually goes into the churn. And that's one reason why we have such beautiful spreadable butter in the supermarket these days. That's a very modern thing. It's not something that existed for most of butter's history, that velvety texture.
You also tell, and I mentioned this in the introduction, about one of the roles in history that butter had, pardon that pun, was politics, a political role. That the fight between the margarine makers and the butter makers is really a fascinating
fight. It's fascinating. Yeah.
Also went on for a really long time. It was almost like a century.
Yes, 90 years it went on. Yeah, it's remarkable given our so-called free market economy and capitalism that the butter makers were able to sort of persecute the margarine makers for a long time with legislation, taxation, regulation. You know, they basically the battle was fought in the courts, in state and federal courts, for all that time.
Well, you know, taking a page out of the marketing Bible of one company, that you can't believe it's not butter. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
sure you can.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't think they're fooling anybody, right?
Right?
It was different. But I think also what fascinated a lot of people, you know, as margarine took hold in this country as an alternative to butter, we realized that it may not even have been, it was really no more good for us.
No, certainly not.
Than butter.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was sort of the early call, right?
Yeah. That's kind of the tragedy of it, is that so many people switched from butter. This is post-war. So many people switched from butter to margarine, thinking that it was healthier. And now we know that it had trans fats, which are actually much, you know, much more worse for your heart. I mean, saturated fat actually can be good for your heart. There are certain kinds of saturated fat in butter that are good for your heart and your circulation, but there's nothing redeeming about trans fats, nothing. Mm.
Where do you think butter is now as far as our acceptance of it? Because it seems that while diet fads come and go, that we're at a place where I'm seeing many more books come in and come out onto the market that seem to embrace butter, that seem to embrace even sugar, and look at it and say, well, these are things that are that used in with some discretion,
yes,
can be wonderful and to enjoy food to its utmost.
Finally. Yeah, it's taken a while to
get
here.
Yes.
Yeah, because the science has changed a lot. You know, I have a degree in food and nutrition, which I got in the 80s. And I've basically, in writing the chapter in my book about fat and health, I had to unlearn so much of what I learned in college. It just wasn't accurate anymore. The science has changed so much about how our bodies need certain fats. You know, it's important to have them. People are really eager to get back to butter again. I mean, I think it's such a sentimental favorite. It's very much a comfort food. It is such a versatile ingredient. I mean, when you think of, you can make cakes and pies and cookies and sauces and baste with it and saute with it. And there's so many things that you can do with butter. So.
Popcorn.
Yep.
What is there? I don't know what made me think of this, but I thought of it while I was reading the book, and that is that weird notion that we had of when you got a burn, you put butter on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Another thing you have to unlearn. You shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know where that came from. That's a good question. Yeah, I have to.
Fascinating stuff.
Yes.
You are going to be all around the place talking about the book, so I want to give people an idea of where you'll be. You're going to be at the Odyssey Bookshop in Mount Holyoke College on Wednesday, the 30th of November. Later this week, on the 17th, you're going to be at Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, and you're also going to be at R.J. Julia Booksellers in Madison, Connecticut, on the 1st of December. So a lot of places where people can come and hear you speak about butter. There are recipes in the book we should
There
mention.
Are, and I would also like to mention that I have videos from my travels because I went to Bhutan and to India and France and Ireland. So at some of these presentations, I'll have video to show as well.
Yeah, talk a little bit. I mean, you mentioned earlier about some of the early carvings, but that idea that we use butter to carve and to make art is fascinating, but it continues, doesn't it?
Yes, certainly, especially in the among the Tibetan Buddhists. I mean, the tradition of butter carvings goes back to about 600 BCE. And it continues today, especially in parts of India where the Tibetans have been exiled. There's still making butter sculptures every year for their prayer festivals. And I was lucky enough to find a woman who actually, she's a Buddhist monk, a nun, I believe is what they're called when you're a woman. Mm-hmm. And she lives in the Catskills, and she was an expert on Tibetan butter carving. She actually created and produced a whole film about it. And so I was able to learn a lot about that particular
process. And what does it,
process.
What is the significance within Buddhism of the sculpture of the butter?
Well, first of all, like the sand mandalas that they make, they're meant to be impermanent. You know,
okay.
They're meant to blow away or melt away
in the
case
yeah.
of butter. So that it embodies that sort of transience. That's one reason why they like the material. But it's also quite good for sculpting when
sure.
you mix it with flour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you get a good, like, chilled butter, you can do...
Yeah, you can do a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I was there for the Iowa butter carving, the Iowa Fair butter carving, and that's when I really got to actually do a little bit of carving myself and realize how much it works as a medium for sculpting.
Very cool. Mm. You have all kinds of good stories. Elaine Kasarova's new book is Butter, A Rich History, and it is just it's a fascinating book. It's published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill, and it's a beautiful volume. Again, she's going to be at Northshire Bookstore on Thursday in Manchester Center, Vermont, then at the Odyssey Bookshop on Wednesday, November 30th in South Hadley, and on the 1st at R.J. Julia in Madison, Connecticut. Elaine Kasarova, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank
you.
Enjoy your butter.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.